So one of the things I want to start doing on Wednesday nights is I'm going to have the same series for the whole year. And I know that seems like a long time, but like I've already said, it's really only 9 messages because or 10 messages because January we didn't do it, and then in December we're not going to do it. So it's really only 10 messages. And what I want us to do is I want us to learn, I want us to get to know the Holy Spirit. One of the things, and I've got a little graphic up there, Jeremy, if you want to throw that up for me. One of the things that I've noticed as a non-denominational church is that whenever people come in, one of the first things they ask me is, what do you believe about the Holy Spirit? They don't ask me what we believe about abortion. They don't ask me what we believe about the rapture. They don't ask me what we believe about creation. They ask me, what do you believe about the Holy Spirit? And I know every time they ask me about the Holy Spirit, I know exactly what kind of trap I'm walking into, because inevitably they've come from a background that is either really out there on the Holy Spirit, and they want me to say that we believe in throwing snakes around and drinking poison and long hair and lots of makeup or no makeup. They want to see something out there radical. Or they come from the exact opposite direction where they don't believe anything about the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit may as well be the devil, right? And it's like I've got these two extremes. And so people say, what do you believe about the Holy Spirit? And I know this is a trap. I can't answer correctly. And so usually I try to start answering in a very slow way. And it's my way of kind of filling out what direction I'm going to go to know if I need to duck or, you know, hug. And I don't know what's going to happen. And so I got to be real careful. And so I started getting frustrated with the idea that people just don't know the Holy Spirit. And so we get people that come up in churches that are Pentecostal or charismatic, and they know a lot about the Holy Spirit, but they don't know the Holy Spirit. And we get people that come up in denominations. I hate to name denominations because then people are going to get mad at me. But like Church of Christ, maybe, that doesn't buy into the Holy Spirit at all. And so you got some denominations that totally, or some denominations that know that there's a Holy Spirit, but because there's some things about the Holy Spirit they're not sure about, they just avoid it altogether. And so it's a really frustrating thing. So I want to take this year and I want us to just learn who he is. And so tonight, the title of tonight's message is, who is he? That's the title of tonight's message. And some of you that have been with me for a long time, you may say, Gabriel, I've heard you preach something very similar to this before. And you're right. This first couple of messages, it's going to be some stuff that I've already preached before. I'm going to bring back up, but I think it's really good stuff to help us introduce. And then later on, we're going to get into what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. And then at some point, we're going to get into how we can work with the Holy Spirit. So there's going to be a lot of sections to this year. But right now, we're just going to focus on who the Holy Spirit is. And we're going to try to get some kind of balanced scriptural theology on the Holy Spirit. The reason I want to do the Holy Spirit too is because in Genesis 1:2, the second verse in the Bible, the Bible says this. It says, the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. So verse number 2, very beginning of the Bible, we've got the Holy Spirit already being mentioned. And then if you go to the very end of your Bible, you go to the book of Revelation, the very last chapter of the book of the Bible, book of Revelation, in verse 17, verse 22, chapter 22, it says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. So we've got the very beginning, the Holy Spirit working with God to create the world. The very end, the Holy Spirit working with us, the church, to bring back Christ. And so if somebody is mentioned at the beginning of the book and they're mentioned at the end of the book, don't you think it's important to get to know who that person is? I think it's very important to our faith. So often we focus just on one area, and we got to be a little bit more well-rounded than that. Tonight, we're going to take a lot of our scriptures from John chapters 14, 15, and 16. And the reason we're going to do is because these are the last words that Jesus spoke to the disciples before he goes to the cross. As a matter of fact, in chapter 13 of John, that's the Last Supper. And then in chapter 14, they're making their way to the Mount of Olives. That's why you get chapter 15 where he's talking about the vine and the branches, because they're in a garden, right? In that point, they're in a garden. And so it's very easy for Jesus to use illustrations with what's around him. But the cool thing is he's getting ready to go to the cross. He's getting ready to die, and he's trying to prepare his disciples for what's coming. And in those three chapters, 14, 15, and 16, the bulk of what he talks about is the Holy Spirit. Now, he's mentioned at the beginning of the Bible. He's mentioned at the end of the Bible. And then the last thing Jesus says to his disciples before he is killed on a cross is to talk about the Holy Spirit. That makes him pretty important. That makes him pretty important. And so we're going to take a lot of our cue tonight from those chapters. So I want you to look at John 16, verses 5 through 7. And Jesus wants the disciples to be able to recognize the Holy Spirit. And so here's what Jesus begins to tell them. I could go through all of them, and it would all be good. But tonight, we're just going to focus on a few verses. In 16, verse 5, it says, "But now I'm going away to the one who sent me. And not one of you is asking where I'm going. Instead, you grieve because of what I told you. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you." That word advocate there is a Greek word called paraclete. It's only used a few times in the Bible. And what it means is to come alongside. And in other words, Jesus is telling his disciples, "I'm leaving. I won't be here in bodily form to help you anymore. But don't worry, because if I go, I'm going to send somebody that's going to come alongside you, the advocate, and he's going to come alongside you and be there for you." The advocate, the paraclete, is also translated out as an encourager. It's also translated out as comforter, right? How many of y'all have ever heard the Holy Spirit called a comforter? Yes, lots of us. How many of you have a comforter at your house? Yes, lots of us. At our house, we've got this down comforter. And I'm going to tell you, that thing is amazing. But it is crazy hot, right? Like, it gets super hot. So as soon as I get in the bed, I'm really cold, and I get in the bed, and somehow, as cold as I am, Perry's feet are even colder than that. And she tries to put them on me. It's a whole war every night. And I cover up with the down comforter, but about 10 minutes into sleep, I have taken that down comforter and I pile it all on top of Perry, right? Because I can't handle the heat. And so, and I'm sure not getting out of that kitchen. So I just put it all over on her. And then in the middle of the night, I'll reach over to touch her. And she'll say, "I'm sweaty, don't touch me." And I just keep my mouth shut because I know why she's sweaty. Because I have just she's got double layers of down comforter on her body. Just sweating her down. But I had a friend of mine one time. Her name was Brooke. And I was a teenager And a bunch of us went over to Brooke's house, and Brooke's mom had way more money than my parents had, and so her mom was very particular about her things in her home, because most of the things in her home were very expensive, and so we went to Brooke's house. And just to tell you how particular they were, I remember going to Brooke's house, and I remember laying on the carpet one time. We're watching TV, a bunch of us are, and I laid on the carpet, and Brooke said, no, you can't lay on the carpet like that." I was like, "What do you mean?" And she said, "Well, because you just made all the carpet go a different direction. And now I'm going to have to vacuum in the right direction so that all the carpet is going in the right direction. Otherwise, my mom will notice." Her mom was very particular. Some of you may remember Timberland boots. You may remember obviously they're still around. They didn't go away. But there was this one style of Timberland boot that everybody wore. But the shoelace hole at the top was like a metal hook, and you hooked your laces around that. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. So one night I'm at Brooke's house, and we're watching wrestling, right? WWE or WWF or WCW or one of the W's, who knows? Wrestling. And I'm laying on the floor, and I'm on the carpet where I'm not supposed to be, first of all. And then my foot is off the carpet on the hardwood floor. And I remember somebody did something. I jumped up real fast. And when I did, I felt the floor, and I looked, and I had scraped the hardwood floor. And so I took a pillow and put it over it, and I just left. I walked right out. I was like, "I gotta go. Time to go. Don't tell anybody." I hope Brooke never listens to this, or at least her mom. But the point of the story is this, comforter. We're talking about comforters. I remember us all going into Brooke's bedroom one day, and we all piled in her bedroom. And you know how it is whenever you're a teenager and you go into a bedroom, what are you going to do? Like, you're going to jump right on the bed, you know? And I look at this bed with this down comforter, and it's beautiful, and it's white, and it's like pristine. And I was just like, oh, man, it's like being in a hotel. I'm jumping on that bed, and I'm like about to jump on the bed. And Brooke's like, no, don't jump on that bed. And I was like, why? She said, because nobody can touch the comforter. I said, what do you mean nobody can touch a comforter? It's a comforter. It goes on your bed. You sleep under this. She said, oh, no. I don't sleep with that comforter. When it's time for bed, we have to take that comforter off because this is just for looks. And what we've done to the Holy Spirit is we've said, you're a comforter that's just for looks. I don't want to use you because things might get a little weird. I don't want to use you. So when it comes time to use you, I'm going to just stick you over here in the closet and fold you up. But it looks good for us to say we believe in the Holy Spirit because otherwise we don't believe in part of the Bible. But when it comes time for using you, we're going to just stick you over here in the corner. Listen, we got to have a comforter that we can use, not just look at. And so tonight, that's why we're wanting to get started. The other thing that the Bible says about the word comforter there, the advocate, the paraclete, the other word is helper. And so if you're taking notes tonight, I don't know if we passed out notes or not, but if you're taking notes tonight, the first note is this: He is my helper. Here's what the Holy Spirit does for us. He helps us in a lot of ways. One of the ways the Holy Spirit helps us is helps us to know what not to say. Have you ever heard the Holy Spirit there? Some of you are like, I've never heard the Holy Spirit, but have you ever had that moment? Husbands especially, whenever your wife comes in and you're about to say something and you feel this stirring inside of you that says, don't say that. Don't say that. That would be stupid. That's the Holy Spirit talking to you because He knows what not to say. He knows what to say. The Bible says the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And so He knows what to say. And so the Holy Spirit helps us by helping us know what to say and what not to say. The Holy Spirit helps us to know what to do and what not to do, right? So there's been plenty of times whenever you're going to have this desire to sin. Let's be honest. We all have a desire to sin. We may say we're super Christians, but there are moments when we want to sin. There's times you want to slap that person next to you, not in here, at your work or somewhere else. But there's this desire to sin, and then you feel like, I can't do that. The Holy Spirit is telling you what to do, what not to do. So I believe that. But there's three ways that the Holy Spirit, and there's lots of other ways the Holy Spirit helps us. The Bible says He helps us to pray. We'll talk about that in another message. But there's three ways that Jesus says in our three chapters, there's three ways that Jesus says He helps us. And so let's look at John 16, verses 8 through 11. And it says this in verse 8, we'll start there. It says, and when He comes, talking about the Holy Spirit, He will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. He will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. Now, a lot of times whenever we've read that in the past, we look at that and we think, oh, well, I know what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit comes in, He says, you're a sinner, you're bad, you're terrible, right? And God's good, and so He's going to get you. You're a sinner, God's good, and then He's going to get you, and you're going to burn, right? And we hear people talk about this all the time. I know driving through town, sometimes there's people on the sidewalks preaching, and I've been to places where people on the sidewalks preach, and sometimes you'll hear the preaching coming out of these sidewalk preachers, and look, sidewalk preaching isn't bad. I've been a sidewalk preacher before myself. But I remember one time being in New Orleans and going down the street, and I remember these guys sidewalk preaching, and everything they had to say was, you're terrible, God's wonderful, and you're going to burn. That's all they wanted to say. That's all they wanted to say. But I want to look at this for a second because Jesus says that the Holy Spirit is a helper, and to me that doesn't sound like He's helping. That sounds more like He's hurting, not helping. And so let's look at what Jesus says, because He explains Himself in verse 9 and 10 and 11. He says, the world's sin is that it refuses to believe in Me. Now, when I look at that, it says the world's sin. So what is the Holy Spirit doing? He's convicting the world of sin. What sin? The sin of not believing in Christ. He's not going in necessarily. I mean, he can point out every little sin, but he's convicting the world, or the other word for convict is convince. He's convincing us of our need for a Savior. He has to show us, look, when you're lost, when you don't know Christ, you don't have any idea that you even need a Savior. You don't know what sin is until the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that nobody can come into the Father unless they are drawn by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to convince you that, hey, you're a sinner, you're jacked up, and you need a Savior. There's only one way out of this thing, and it's through Jesus. So the Holy Spirit convinces us that we need a Savior so that we can give our hearts to Christ, because that's what the Bible says. You got to have the Holy Spirit drawing you. And then he says in verse 10, of righteousness, because righteousness is available, because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. So what is he saying? He could be meaning, there is a way of looking at that he convicts us of, or convinces us of right living. Righteousness sometimes is translated out right living. But in this case, it's translated out right standing. And it makes sense because it says that I go to the Father and I'm with you no more. In 1 John 2:1, the Bible says, and I don't think I put this one in there, Jeremy, but it says, my dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. So he convinces us that we're sinners and we need a Savior. And then when we give our hearts to Christ, then he convinces us that we are in right standing with God. And let me tell you something. This is one of the most difficult things for us to get on our own. I was a Christian for a long time and never thought I was in right standing with God. I was a Christian for a long time and always thought I was going to hell. Every night when I would pray, as a teenager, every night when I would pray, God, please forgive me for everything that I've done. Please, I repent of everything that I've done today. I repent of every thought, every action, every word. Please forgive me because I don't want to go to hell. I just never had this concept that I could be in right standing with God because I always felt like I was terrible. I believed in Christ. I had asked him to forgive me of my sins. I served him, but yet I didn't understand this right standing. And it wasn't until the Holy Spirit did a work in my life and showed me the love of God and the mercy of God that I truly understood that I was in right standing with God. But it was only because of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't because of a message anybody preached. As a matter of fact, I discovered this. I had this, I want to say epiphany, but it's really just a prophetic thought that God put in my head. It was actually in the shower at my house. Because God doesn't have to move in you in church. He can do it wherever he wants to because he's the Holy Spirit, right? And so he convinces us that we have right standing with the Father. And then it says of judgment. I want you to look at that. It says judgment will come because of the ruler, because the ruler of this world has already been judged. The ruler of this world, in other scriptures, we find out is Satan at that time. That's what Jesus is talking about. And he's saying that Satan has already been judged. In other words, judgment has already been pronounced over Satan. In other words, Jesus is saying Satan is already a loser. He lost the battle. He has been dethroned and defanged. He's done. You're the winner. He's the loser. So what is the Holy Spirit doing for us? How is he helping us? He's helping us because he shows me that I need a Savior and he leads me to God through Christ Jesus. And then he convinces me that I have right standing with God, that I don't have to grovel around like a wimp, but I can stand strong knowing that I've got an advocate with the Father, somebody that loves me, that is there for me to show me I've got right standing. And then when the enemy tempts me and wants to draw me away, he says, hey, he's already been judged. You're the winner. You're victorious. You can live a victorious life in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but that's the kind of help I want. I need that kind of help more than I need any other kind of help. I need to know who I am. I need to know where I'm standing. And I need to know the fact that I can win. The second thing that the Holy Spirit is he's my friend and he's not weird. Let me repeat that. He's my friend and he's not weird. Now, there are a lot of weird people that talk about the Holy Spirit, but that doesn't make the Holy Spirit weird. Just because there's a weird person doesn't mean there's a weird God. Does that make sense to you? Let me tell you something. Those people that you think are weird, the people that you think make the Holy Spirit weird, they would be weird without the Holy Spirit. They're probably just weird people. As a matter of fact, everybody's weird to some degree. There's a study that says that one out of three people is weird. So if you would look to your right and to your left, if the people on either side of you aren't weird, then maybe you are. Here's the thing. I don't believe that the Holy Spirit is weird. I believe what happens is sometimes we get excited as people and we go beyond the scope of Scripture in our exuberance. And because we go beyond the scope of Scripture, we step into weird, but we're holding the Holy Spirit's hand. And so everybody thinks he's weird, but really it's just we're weird. And so what we have to do sometimes, look, I've done it before. I've stepped outside the scope of Scripture. Jonathan and I talk about this all the time because we talk about our past and we talk about our present. And then we're trying to figure out where we're going in the future. And we talk about this a lot. And we say we really want the church to be passionate. We want the church to be passionate in their worship. I want us to be able to clap on beat. That would be awesome. That's one of my biggest prayers for this church. And thank you, Kim. You're just saying that because you're like the only person that can clap on beat. You're like, hey, man, I'm tired of holding this church up. I'm the only one clapping good. We want that kind of stuff. We want people to pursue. The Bible says desire the gifts of the Spirit. We want people to do that. But at the same time, he and I both know we've been in places and we've been in moments in our life when people slipped, and maybe it was probably more me than Jonathan. We slipped outside of the Scripture, outside of what the Spirit was really doing, into more of what we wanted to do. And then didn't consider the fact that other people are watching us and they might think he's weird because of what we're doing. It's one of those things I tell you all the time. I don't care if you're going to go out and get drunk and be a hellion. Just tell people you go to First Baptist. Don't tell them you come to my church. Right? Don't wear our t-shirt. Why? Because they associate you. And whenever they see us acting weird in church, then what they associate is they associate that with the Holy Spirit when that may not be what he's doing. And so it's important for you to see that. Here's the thing. Satan, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, Satan was crafty. The Bible says he was the craftiest. That word crafty means cunning and subtle. In other words, Satan is not stupid. We think of him as some dumb figure in a red suit with a pitchfork, and that's not at all who Satan is. Satan is crafty. He's subtle. He's playing a long game with us. He doesn't have to get you today. He knows that you're going to be alive for a while. He can play the long game. And so what Satan does is he tries to get the focus away from all that the Holy Spirit is, and he tries to put it on one gift, one aspect, and he tries to make it weird. Because he knows if he can make something weird or make something fake or make something sound like it's a lie, or make something sound like it's from him, then what's going to happen? It immediately discredits God, and we will learn to ignore it and stay away from it. And I really think that's what's happened in our churches today, is that Satan has weaseled his way in. I'm not saying preachers are bad. I'm not saying that people are bad. I'm saying Satan is always bad. And he weasels his way in, and he says, look, the Holy Spirit, it's weird, it's crazy. Or he'll say, look, I can do that same stuff. And then he'll do the same stuff. It's proven in the Bible. And with Adam and Eve, what did Satan do? He questions the very words of God. He says, did God really say that? Is that really what that means? He does that for us in the Bible. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, there's going to be people in here tonight, when I talk about this or throughout the year, and the thought that's going to come to your head is that really what that scripture means? Does that scripture really mean that? Listen. That is the enemy trying to drive a wedge in your relationship with God. Something he did with Moses. The Bible says that Moses would stand before Pharaoh, and God told Moses, take your staff, throw it on the ground. And he did, and it turned into a snake. But then what happened? Pharaoh said, I got people who can do that same trick. He brings out his magicians, and they throw their sticks on the ground, and they turn into snakes. Why did he do that? He did that because he's trying to discredit God, I can do the same stuff. This is all fake. This is all magic. This is all put on. And so as long as Satan can keep us in the mindset that what we talk about the Holy Spirit is just fake and put on, it's not real, it's not for today, all these lies, he says those things because he knows he can drive a wedge in us. He can bring fear to us. He knows if I fear something, I'll avoid it. I love guns. I love guns. I was raised loving guns. I mean, from the time I was a little kid, I remember as a real little guy, I remember my dad doing construction work on a building one time. And I went and I would find scraps of wood and I would get a hammer and nails and I would nail together scraps of wood and turn them into guns. And I would take them home. I don't know why. Like I had actual toy guns at home, but I always had guns. Every stick was a gun. Some of you guys were like that growing up, and I never lost it. I'm still that way. I love guns, and my dad has always taught me to respect guns. I tell people all the time, if you come in my house and you find a gun, it's loaded. It's loaded to the hilt. It's ready to go. Like, don't squeeze the trigger. That would be stupid because you're going to shoot my TV. And so, and I do that. I do that because I know that loaded guns are safer. As long as you think the gun's loaded, then so I treat every gun like it's loaded, no matter what it is. I never treat a gun like it's unloaded. It's unloaded guns end up shooting people. I've told the story before. A kid in my youth group one time got shot in the back with a .22. He lived. He's fine, but he's got a piece of lead still stuck in his body, right? They couldn't get it out. He got shot with the empty gun, right? Because, oh, this is empty. Pop, pop. And then he gets shot. And so we've just learned how to respect guns. But it's always interesting to me to see people come into my house whose families didn't use guns and didn't respect guns and were scared of guns, and guns are bad. And as soon as they see a gun, they go, oh, that's scary. Get that away from me. Don't let me see that. Like, you think I'm being exaggerating here, but I'm not. I've actually had people say that. Please get that away. I can't. It's a gun. It's dangerous. It's scary. Can I tell you something? Guns don't shoot people. They never have. People shoot people. They always have. I've never gone hunting before because guns supply my family with food. I've never gone hunting before and laid my gun up in that tree stand and just sat back and watched it kill a deer. It's never happened. I've tried it 3 times and it will not work. I always have to pull the trigger. Why am I saying all this? I'm saying all this because that's exactly what the enemy does about the Holy Spirit. He says, oh, it's scary. It's scary. It's bad. Get away from it. No. He's not scary or bad. There may be some weird people. Now, I'm not scared of guns, but if a weird person comes and picks up one of my guns, now I'm scared. If someone comes in my house that's scary of guns, I'm scared for them to touch my guns because I know what they're going to do. They're going to, oh, and as soon as they do, they're going to shoot something. Right in my foot, you know? The fact is this, God will never give you a snake. Luke chapter 11, verses 11 through 13. Jesus says this, you fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. He actually emphasized that. Of course not. He knows how to talk. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts for your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Throughout the Bible, the word snake and scorpion represent demons. So there's nothing bad with the Holy Spirit. There's bad people. Holy Spirit is never bad. So the Bible, Jesus says this, God's not going to give you something that's bad for you. God's not going to give you something that's scary for you. When he talks about the Holy Spirit, it's good for you. As a matter of fact, he wants to give you a gift or a benefit, right? Here's quickly in your notes, and we're almost done. 4 benefits of the Holy Spirit in your life. I love these. Number 1 is power. Acts 1:8 says that he'll give you power to be a witness specifically. That we need power to be able to be a witness. Paul said this. Paul said, I'm not that good of a speaker, but I came in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's that power that changed your life. It wasn't my speaking. It was the power of God working through me. The second thing that the Holy Spirit gives us as a benefit is love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, they call it the love chapter. What I find interesting is the chapters before that and the chapters after that, Paul's talking about the gifts of the Spirit and manifesting the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. He's talking about all this stuff about the Holy Spirit on either side, but he put love right smack dab in the middle because he knows nothing we do can happen without love. Paul says you can pretend like you got the Spirit all day long, but if you don't have love, you're just pretending. It ain't real. Because the Holy Spirit, why? Because the Holy Spirit brings love into our life. I've read a story about a man, a preacher that back in the 1800s, and he said that he didn't understand the Holy Spirit, but these two old ladies in his church did, and they kept telling him, they said, "Preacher, we're praying for you that the Holy Spirit will get a hold of your life." And he said, "Okay, you know, I don't know what that means, but cool." And so he said, "I'm walking down the street one day, and I begin to pray, and I just said, Holy Spirit, whatever you've got for me, I want it." And all of a sudden, he said, he began to weep and he began to cry and he ran into his office. And whenever he did, he said it felt like waves of love crashing over him. Thought he was going to die. Like it was just so overwhelming. The Holy Spirit will benefit you with love. He will love you so hard you think you're going to die. I'm just kidding. That'd be bad. The third thing is he gives us fruit. Fruit represents the character of Christ. He produces that in us. And then lastly, he gives us gifts. All the gifts. Not just one gift. All the gifts. So many times in some denominations and some churches, we get focused on one gift. He gives you all the gifts. The Bible says desire the gifts. Yes, there is a place where it says that you can have, you know, that to some they're given this and to some they're given that. But Paul says, pray for all of them, man. If you're going to ask for something, ask for everything. Don't ask for a little bit. Ask for the whole shebang, you know. I don't want just some. I want all. The third thing that the Holy Spirit is he is my God. Now, this one seems very simple, but yet is very hard to understand. The Holy Spirit is my God. He is God right alongside Jesus and the Father. That's the whole Trinity thing that most of us don't really understand. We may know it, but we don't understand it. I remember one time I was in school and in ministry school, and this guy said, I only pray to Jesus. And I said, why? He said, I don't know. I feel like that's who I'm supposed to pray to. He said, do you think we're allowed to pray to God too? I said, yeah, same person, you know, like same exact person. And it's funny, like, there's been so many times throughout my life that I've prayed, oh God, whatever, whatever, in Jesus' name, right? Or Jesus, I need you, right? Jesus, take the wheel. Whatever the case is, it feels like we pray to God, we pray to Jesus. But how often have we ever prayed to the Holy Spirit? He's God too. And so that's one of the things I've strived for the last couple of years is I've wanted to know the Holy Spirit in a real way. I want to have a relationship with Holy Spirit. And so you'll notice in a lot of my messages, I'll throw in Holy Spirit. But in my prayers, I pray, Holy Spirit, I need you tonight. I need you to move in this place. Holy Spirit, I need wisdom and understanding because I don't know how to do the job that I'm doing. Holy Spirit, I need the words to say because I don't know how to talk in this situation. And so I begin to pray to the Holy Spirit. And just whenever you think that's not biblical, in John chapter 14, verse 16, the Bible says this, Jesus speaking, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. Three people in that sentence. I, Jesus, the Father, and the Spirit, all three of them working together. John 14, 26, but when the Father sends the advocate, Holy Spirit, as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and remind you of everything I have told you. All three working together. The Father sends the advocate, that is the Holy Spirit, to teach you about Jesus. All three of them working together. John 15, 26. But I will send you the advocate, the Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Spirit. And he will come to you from the Father and will testify about me. And then in Luke chapter 3, verse 22, we see all three of them operating at the same time. Jesus is getting baptized, and it says in verse 22, and the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him, Jesus, like a dove, and a voice from heaven, the Father, said, you are my dearly loved Son, and you bring me great joy. All three of them working together at the same time. Even Peter talks about the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 5. There's this guy, Ananias, who was lying about his offering. Aren't you thankful that I don't look at all your offering? Aren't you thankful that I don't go through the tithing records and be like, Jim, I know you made more money than this year. You know, like, you are lying to God and the Holy Spirit. No, I'm just kidding. Jim's a good giver. I did look at his. In Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says this. I didn't really look. But now some of you are thinking, did he look at mine? I don't know. Did I? I'm going to ask God for the spirit of Peter here. Then Peter said to Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit and you kept some of the money for yourself. At the end of verse 4, it says, you weren't lying to us, but to God. So Peter uses Holy Spirit and God interchangeably. If the Holy Spirit is God, then we need to be more careful with how we treat him. We can't have a comforter we throw in the corner because we're throwing God in the corner. We can't say, you got to watch out for people that talk about the Holy Spirit too much. Really? They're just talking about God. You wouldn't be mad if they're talking about Jesus too much and they're talking about God too much. But the Holy Spirit is God. So we need to be careful with how we treat him. And at the same time, I feel like we need to dive into, lean into a relationship with him even more. There's a thought here that someone else wrote, but I want to read it because it's all scriptures that they just put it into one kind of paragraph, and I thought it was kind of cool. And I've got it on the screen, Jeremy. If you can follow along, I've got it in like three different parts. But the statement is this, and I think I put it in your notes even. It says, the Holy Spirit intercedes through us on earth. The Holy Spirit calls and qualifies ministers for their work. It is the Holy Spirit who makes them overseers of the flock. He hears, speaks, teaches, and guides us into all truth. He glorifies Christ, receives from Christ, shows us Christ, and brings all of Christ's words to our remembrance. It is better for us that Jesus left so that the Holy Spirit could come. He shows us the things to come, knows the deep things of God, searches all things, and reveals all things. Tonight, our goal is for us to really start forming a relationship and knowing who the Holy Spirit is. Come on up, John. My goal for you is to know him and to want to know him. There's a word in the Bible, I mean, word in not in the Bible. There's a word in Spanish, and it's the word love. And so the word love is amor, right? Amor means love in Spanish. And so you can say, te amo. It means, if I were talking to Perry, I'd say, te amo. It means I love you. But I could also say that to Jonathan. He's my brother-in-law. Te amo, John. And that means I love him too, right? But if I'm really talking to Perry, there's another word that I could use. And it's quiero. So if I was talking to Perry, I'd say, te quiero. And what that means is, not just that I love you, but I want you. I would never say that to Jonathan. I love him, I don't want him. But with Perry, I can say, te quiero. In our relationship with God, in our relationship with the Holy Spirit, I want us to get past this idea of, oh, I love you, Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I want us to get past that, and I want us to get to the point where we're saying, Holy Spirit, te quiero. I want you. I want everything about you. I want the things that I don't understand. I want the things that I do understand. I want everything that you have for me. Like that old preacher said, I may not know everything, but I want whatever you got. Why don't you stand up with me tonight? And just bow your heads. This is a time for you to pray. We'll lower the lights and give you your personal time here for just a minute. But here's the question. I want you to begin to pray on your own. Just say, on your own, just say, Holy Spirit, what are you trying to say to me tonight? Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me tonight through this word? And I believe as you begin to pray that tonight, and I'm going to be quiet, I want you to listen, because he may be talking to you about your relationship with him. He may be talking to you about your past and the things that you've learned, the things that you've done. He may be saying, hey, some of that stuff wasn't me. He may be saying, hey, you've been taught bad about me, but I love you. So let's just pray that prayer right now on your own. Just Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to me tonight through this word? Let's just listen. Tonight, what we're going to do is before we leave, we're going to spend a little bit of time in prayer. And what I would love to do tonight is I would love to pray with you. If you've got anything that we need to pray about tonight, I would love to pray with you. Maybe you need healing. Maybe you need a miracle in your home, in your relationships. Maybe you need something going on with your finances or your kids, whatever the case is. Or maybe you just say, Gabriel, I really want to have that real relationship with the Holy Spirit. And maybe there's some stuff in your past that needs to be broken in your mind tonight. Listen, I'm there. I'm right there with you. There are things in my past I'm ashamed of, really, because I know there's things that I've done in my past that I just really pushed past the scripture. And I went way into emotion and way into personal. But there may be some of you say, I've just been taught that there is no Holy Spirit. I've avoided that for my whole life because I've just thought it was scary and I thought it was weird. But tonight I want to open myself up. I'm not telling you that you're going to do anything tonight. I'm not telling you that the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and something, you're going to start prophesying. I'm not telling you any of that at all. None of that. Matter of fact, I hope none of that happens right now. I just want us to take that first step of just saying, Te quiero, Holy Spirit. I want you. Before you come down, let me tell you one more quick story. I remember when I was, and you can keep your eyes closed, just listen. I remember when I was dating Perry, and I remember as a younger guy, when I was a teenager, you know, you date people or whatever, and I remember telling girls that I loved them. I didn't understand what love really meant. I didn't understand the sacrifice that it took to love somebody, but it was just kind of the thing you do. You just say, oh, yeah, I love you. And so whenever I was dating Perry, I really felt like something was different with her. And I felt like there was actually a future with her. And so I remember a moment when I felt like I wanted to tell her that I loved her. And I thought, no, I'm not going to tell her that. Instead, I'm going to take 30 days. I'm just going to pray. And I'm going to ask God if I really can do that. Before I take that next step in my relationship, I'm going to take a month and I'm going to just pray about it. I'm going to seek God. And that may sound silly to some of you, but to us or to me, it was really serious. And so I told Perry, I said, I'm praying about some stuff about our relationship for the next little while. And so she began to pray also. And after 30 days, I felt like that I could take that next step and tell her, hey, I love you. I'm saying all that to say this. In our relationship with the Holy Spirit, I'm not asking you to get engaged. I'm not asking you to buy a ring. I'm not asking you to put on a tux and a dress. I'm asking you for the next little while, for the next few months, to just begin to pray and say, God, I want to take the next step, whatever that is. For some of you, that next step is just learning how to invite the Holy Spirit into your life, into your everyday. For some of you, it's just learning how to unlearn some of the stuff from the past. For some of you, it's just learning how to lean into Him and allow Him to speak to you. For some of us, the next step is just saying, Holy Spirit, I want to know you. And that's all the prayer I got, is I just want to know you. So tonight, whatever your prayer request is, whether it's personal, whether it's family, whether it's physical, or whether you're just saying, I want to know you, Holy Spirit. I want you to slip out of your seat. We're going to sing one more song. And as we do, I want to pray with you tonight. So just slip out of your seat. Come right down to the front. And we want to pray tonight before we leave this place. So if you need prayer, come on down.